Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you as usual. As you know that you are my only family here in the United States. So your presence here is always appreciated. And I appreciate all those who faithfully come to worship with us via Zoom. I know we have a bit of issue of showing you the screen this morning, but we'll straighten it out during the week, and we will go back to the recover all the functionality. But I pray that the grace of the Lord will be upon each and every one of you, that as we worship together, you will experience the presence of God in many different ways. You can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right here in this place. This sanctuary is a very, very special place for me, because I've been to many, many sanctuaries for the last 40 years, right? Over 40 years. And each sanctuary has different characteristics and different beauties, but what I feel here is a very homey feeling. It's like, you know, you come in, it's like you feel embraced by God's presence. It's not just me. Many of you have shared that. Even people who come to worship with us for the first time feel God's presence right here. And, I mean, I try to understand what it is. And part of it is that this beautiful sanctuary was built by hands of the parishioners. You know, all their prayers and their labors went into building this structure. It's a very special place. So I pray that each of you will experience the presence of God and experience God speaking to you through His voice, through His Holy Spirit. And this is where we feel God's presence every time we worship together. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The following is a parody of the wonderful words of Luke's Christmas story, which we are all familiar with. And there were in the same country children keeping watch over their stockings by the fireplace. And lo, Santa Claus came upon them, and they were sore afraid. And Santa said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which be to all people who can afford them. For unto you will be given great feasts of turkey, dressing, and cake, and many present, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the present wrapped in bright paper, lying beneath the tree, adorned with tinsel, colored balls, and light. And suddenly, there will be with you a multitude of relatives and friends, praising you and saying, Thank you so much, it was just what I wanted. And it shall come to pass, as the friends and relatives have gone away into their own homes, the parents shall say to one another, Darn it, what a mess to clean up. I'm tired. Let's go to bed and pick it up tomorrow. Thank goodness Christmas only comes once a year. And they go with haste to their cold bed and find their desired rest. Any parents would be very familiar with this scene. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day also used to be very long and sleep-deprived days for Becky and me. We wanted our kids to enjoy the fantasy of Santa Claus while they were young, so we did not put out Christmas gifts until late Christmas Eve. After making sure all our kids went to bed and fell sound asleep, we spent a couple of hours wrapping gifts and writing cards. On many Christmas Eves, we went to bed after midnight, but our kids would wake us up much earlier than usual on Christmas and wanted to open their present. Their excitement died down eventually after they learned Santa Claus did not prepare presents, but their parents did. How did they find out? Santa could no longer satisfy their picky taste. My boys are not children anymore. Plus, it is almost impossible to please them, so they do not get Christmas present. But for Esther, many times throughout the year. Regardless, Christmas is the best time of the year, and we happily anticipate it. Let us remember that our anticipation goes beyond this annual festivity. There will be a second Christmas when Jesus returns to this earth. Let us learn some biblical basis on the second Advent, including the portion of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," under the light of the Advent. The word Advent has a root in Latin, Adventus, meaning arrival. People in this part of the nation are more familiar with this word. There in the neck of our neighborhood is a sizable community of Adventist churches. They call themselves Adventists because they emphasize Jesus' second arrival on this earth. Many believers dismiss this important Christian doctrine, but in fact, the first Christmas anticipates the second one. If they believe the first Advent, they should believe the second Advent as well. Let me take several examples to explain what this means. Firstly, the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel to Mary. The angel said to Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendant forever. His kingdom will never end." The Annunciation was not new, but a repeat of the old prophecy. Nathan was a prophet who served King David around 1000 BC. Nathan said this to David in 2 Samuel 7. "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who will build the house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." The prophesied son of David was born on Christmas. The Gospel of Matthew begins a long genealogy of Jesus, which is centered around King David. See how it begins and ends. Verse 1 of chapter 1. "This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And it ends in verse 17. "There were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exiles to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Jesus the Messiah." David is the dividing point and the central figure of Jesus' genealogy. The genealogy presents an unmistakable message that Jesus was born the son of David. Four Gospels witness that the public knew that Jesus as the son of David and called him so. Jesus came to the earth to establish the everlasting throne of David. Non-believers think that Jesus exists in history once and is no more. However, the first Advent marks only the beginning of Jesus' work to build God's kingdom on this earth. His job is not done. Jesus is still building God's kingdom on this earth through his followers. His second advent, arrival, will mark the completion of God's eternal kingdom. The angel's annunciation, his kingdom will never end, manifests Jesus' first and second coming. Secondly, Jesus knew the Old Testament perfectly and committed to fulfilling every prophecy of the Old Testament. During the time of Jesus, the copies of the Greek translation of the entire Old Testament called Septuagint were in circulation. We may see hints of this in the Gospels. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, went into a synagogue and read from the book of Isaiah. Jesus also mentioned Tanakh. We may see it that way, but mentioned Tanakh, the compilation of the Old Testament. Tanakh is the acronym with initials of three main parts of the Old Testament. T for Torah, that is the first five books of the Old Testament. N for Nevi'im, prophets. K for Ketuvim, writings such as Psalms, Proverbs, Job, and so on. Not only did Jesus have full knowledge of the Old Testament, but he also committed himself to fulfill it. Matthew 2:23 says, Jesus went and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Speaking of his death, Jesus said in Luke 22:37, I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was reckoned with transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. At his first advent, Jesus fulfilled almost every prophecy in the Old Testament. Jesus repeatedly mentioned his second return and will return to fulfill the last part of the Old Testament prophecy. Thirdly, the evidence of his return is found in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's will to establish his kingdom on earth through Jesus that lasts forever. In order to complete God's kingdom, which Jesus began building, Jesus has to return. Jesus wants all his followers to agree with this plan God has and pray for it in anticipation of his return. Think about it. Every believer in every generation, from the time of Jesus' first arrival, has prayed this prayer and will continue until the end. This part of the prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, is the most frequent and honest prayer ever offered. And God will not fail to answer this prayer. And he will answer it by sending Jesus again. Considering all, Jesus' return is as inevitable as his first coming. Jesus' work on earth is a historical fact that no one, both believers and non-believers, can deny. So will be his second advent. I recently watched an interview with a famous mortician and funeral director in South Korea. During his several decades-long career, he buried more than 3,000 people. Can you believe it? 3,000 people. That includes many presidents, many famous businessmen like a previous Samsung chairman, and many famed, prestigious people and leaders. You know what, see that what he said? That he learned one important lesson from years of experience from bearing more than 3,000 people. You know what he learned? Everybody dies. Duh. I mean, you don't have to bury 3,000. I mean, that's a basic knowledge that everybody knows. But that's what he said. The second advent is as sure as death. Some unknown person wrote this: the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we exalt at Christmas, is not just a baby in a manger. He's not a character in a children's story. He is far more. The first time he came veiled in the form of a child. The next time he comes, and we believe it will be soon, he will come unveiled. And it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all the world just who he really is. The first time he came, a star marked his arrival. The next time he comes, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and he himself will light it. The first time he came, wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time he comes, he will bring gifts, rewards for his own. The first time he came, there was no room for him. The next time he comes, the whole world will not be able to contain his glory. The first time he came, only a few attended his arrival. The next time he comes, every eye will see him. The first time he came as a baby, soon he will come as sovereign King and Lord. We celebrate Advent for a four-week season in the church calendar dedicated to anticipating the first arrival of Jesus, the Messiah. Advent is infused with Jesus' second coming. The first and the second Advent cannot be separated from each other. Advent marks the beginning of the Christian calendar year. The second Advent will be the culmination of history, God's story, and the grandiose beginning of the new heaven and the new earth. Praying the Lord's Prayer is not just our lip service, but reflects our conviction in the second Advent and the way we should live with readiness for his second arrival. As we are getting ready for Christmas, let us be prepared for his return to welcome Jesus with joy. Amen.